Welcome to the Queen City Preachers Podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
And it's been a hot second since we've been with y'all.
We're sorry.
Yeah, we, apologies. Life. Oof. We intend rhythmic, calendar quality control, but we often slide into the craziness of, of what ministry is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here we are. We're here now.
We're back.
Yay. Yeah. It's still springtime, kind of, but it's cold and dreary and sad.
Oh, boy. Tell us how you really feel about it all, Molly.
It's cold and dreary and sad. Kind of like the lectionary text for this coming Sunday.
They're not that bad.
No.
But they're not exactly
amazing. I don't have to preach on them, so I don't know why I'm being so negative about it.
It's not that they're down in the dumps. It's just that they're... let's dive in and explain.
We'll find something exciting to say about them.
So the texts were kind of, if you've been following along with us, with worship at all here at Messiah, I strayed from the gospel lesson last weekend and went with the Acts text about Philip and his interaction with the Ethiopian eunuch.
Mm-hmm. Wish that man had a name.
He should have had,
wish
he had a name.
Wish he didn't have to call him the Ethiopian or the eunuch.
I know, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's known by the categories. The isms.
Yeah.
But like the John text, we're in the what are considered the farewell discourses, which is kind of Jesus's poetic pontificating to his disciples, talking to them, trying to offer words of comfort, of wisdom, of different things, depending on how you understand the scholars' takes on it. It's a lot with language. And you'll hear that. I mean, so last week's was the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm apart from me. And so today's text picks up where that left off, and it's the 15th chapter of John.
It's easy to get into the weeds of it.
It is.
But
agricultural vines. Imagery.
Yeah, and the branches.
So good. So this is chapter 15, verse 9. And I'm going to be reading from the New English Translation. Follow along with whatever you've got. So just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My commandment is this, to love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because the slave does not understand what his master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have revealed to you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that remains, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you, to love one another.
Oh, well, that's nice.
It is. And then the next, if you continue, he goes on to talk about if the world hates you, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the separation between Jesus's world, God's world, and the world.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, what immediately came to my mind was, I remember we did that survey maybe a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And someone said we used friends too much.
I know. I know.
Does that lodge? Is that live rent free in your head too?
It does. Yeah. It does. Every time I'm about to say friends, I go check myself.
Well, so perhaps now it's a sermon for why we call each other friends.
Friends. Yeah.
And what does it mean to be friends? You know.
Yeah, and and also, like, what does it mean for your boss to say you're my friends?
Yeah.
Right. Like, is Jesus kind of like their boss, their mentor?
Mm-hmm.
And like now he's like, you're not my slave servants anymore. You're my friends.
You're my friends. Yeah. And so you're equal with me, right?
Yeah.
We
so how
on
do
the
we
same level.
How do we understand that power shift?
Mm-hmm. And relational like? Shift too, right? It's no longer that you're just learning something from me. It's that you're carrying this out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a level of equality.
Yeah.
Within that, in role.
Yeah. One thing I was following, I follow these different things on Instagram. Like one was like a relationship one, and it was saying like, yeah, like the highest form of love is friendship, which kind of is backed up by this, right? The love that Jesus has for his disciples is that of friendship.
Is that a friendship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's not about perfection,
mm-mm.
right? And it's
no.
not.
It's not romantic.
It's not romantic, but it's also not. Mm-hmm. It allows space for failure, for error, for for the fullness of being.
Yeah, and that friendship is so mutual too, right?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not the parental love of I'm giving everything for you. It is like a much more both ways relational kind of love.
Yeah, it's the two way street piece of it,
which I don't know is necessarily true with Jesus, but it is interesting to think about it in a certain context.
Oh, you mean what does Jesus rely on from his disciples?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I mean,
you could go down that path.
You know, and I mean, in some ways, you could. That creates a very interesting question about, you know, God's immutability and the fact, does God change? And it allows us to say that Jesus doesn't necessarily have to change in order to be in relationship. The core tenets of who Jesus is are there, but it doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't engage in relationship to be authentic to who Jesus actually was. Right? So maybe there's some elements of that in Jesus' understanding of friendship.
Yeah. And this sense, too, of I need you to keep my commandments, because there is no Jesus if there is no people keeping Jesus' commandments.
Totally.
Right.
And also, I chose you. I mean, we get that language in there, too. Mm-hmm. The awkwardness in that, and I struggle with this a little bit with this passage, is can you command love?
Do you feel like that's what's happening? Where are you kind of taking that
well,
from?
Well, I mean, it's that, you know, it's that notion of
if you obey my commandments,
you'll remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you these things so that my joy, right? Like, and it, my commandment is this, to love one another. Mm-hmm. And like,
well, how do we view a commandment?
But also, like, what? I guess maybe some of this is just like, you know, the background noise of campus protests and free speech, as we understand, related to like pro-Palestinian liberation, freedom, anti-violence, like rhetoric. This question of where does free will fit into a commandment of saying. Because I think that we often think of commandments as my way or the highway, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that's really what this is, right? I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to say.
To me, it's a more relational accountability. Like, even when I think back to the Ten Commandments, it's not just like, just do this because, right? It's not like, you know, it's that when we think about the Ten Commandments, they're not the rules in Leviticus of like, only wear these two materials together. Don't wear these two materials together, right? They all have a why with them, right? They all have an answerable why. You know, why should I not covet? Why should I not kill, right? So that you can live peaceably with one another, you know, so that you can have life and have
an
abundant.
So you're saying the why I should love, there's an answer to that.
Yeah, there's an answer. And it's much more of a just blindly follow. It's much less of a blindly follow this just because I say it, as opposed to like live into this. Come into this existence, right? Like abide in it.
Yeah, I mean, I like that from the perspective of the like the remain and abide, dwell type of language that's used.
Yeah. It does follow along with that kind of those. That
yeah,
more
to
kind
be
of
present
visual
into that.
Of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I do. I guess it's the thing that's interesting is to me in some ways is that like, you know, thinking about just like a farewell conversation with a friend, whether they're moving away, whether they're dying, whatever it is, but like just thinking about what are those conversations like, and here Jesus is saying, "I love you guys. Mm-hmm. I chose you." And I'm wondering if the command might better be, I'm asking of you, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm going, but what, if you want to honor me and my legacy and what we have been together, this is what I'm asking you.
Yeah. Follow in my path as well.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it goes a little bit better with some of John's other imagery, right? Like the way and things like that. So I guess I don't know. For me, that's an easier way to visualize it as a like less commandment-y.
Yeah. I think of it too as like, because those words are hard for us, right? Command, yeah. Obey.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the imperative piece of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're hard for us because I know even now, like in Bible study, we're talking about Saul and all the things Saul does and how he doesn't necessarily obey God to the fullest, but it's like he's almost set up for failure that he'll never be able to do it.
Right.
But, you know, it is bringing up all these things for folks about how, like, oh, well, how did he know to obey? Or, like, when he didn't know the reason why, you know, how could you obey if you don't know the consequences? Whereas this, Jesus is like, it is kind of a, will you please obey this? But obey it because I've shown you the fruits of it already, right?
And also, and I'm about to show you the biggest piece of what this means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the biggest what love is, you can show is laying down your life for your friends. And he's about to say, like, he's basically trying to say, I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm. It's the foretaste of the feast to come almost, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it's also that awkwardness of saying you've already experienced this.
Mm-hmm.
At which point they're like, yeah, but there's more, right?
Yeah. It's like if someone baked you a cake and you didn't know if they were a good baker or not, and you're like,
ooh,
I command you to eat this. And you're kind of like, I don't know if I want to eat that because I don't know if it's going to be good. As opposed to like, I shared this cake with you earlier and I have more. Would you still like this? Like, and it was like the best cake you've ever eaten.
It's that I know what love is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's not blind, you know?
Yeah.
It is just like, will you continue in this? Will you continue to follow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's powerful. But I also think what's really powerful is that Jesus says essentially, I mean, that love cannot exist without community.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That like my Father shared love with me and I share it with you.
Mm-hmm.
But the power of this love is essentially that we're sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's why it's kind of, and the love, so love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder, like, I mean, we talk about loving everybody as a church a lot. It's rhetoric that's thrown around a lot in the Christian world, right?
Yeah.
But I wonder if actually the friendship picture is actually the harder one to wrestle with.
Mm-hmm.
I was digging into some statistics because I was remembering that there was a study that was released last fall.
Ooh.
And so I went back to look and it pointed out that, you know, that essentially just a little over like 49% of Americans have fewer than three close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And like and 8% have no friends.
That's sad.
Mm-hmm. And that loneliness is much higher.
Mm-hmm.
That like about half of our population feels lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Periodically, and like a quarter of it feels lonely, depressed on a regular basis, which is, that's kind of sad and scary.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me think that like, is Jesus's command to love in some ways a command to say, don't lose each other.
Mm-hmm.
That like, this is going to be really, really hard. Like I'm laying down my life for you, which is love.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also saying, don't do this alone.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to do this alone.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that like, when you think about that as the command, right?
That's
it's powerful.
Yeah, no
right?
kidding,
it's
right?
Like don't do it alone. Like that's the message I need a lot more than just like this ambiguous love each other. It's that because I'm not so much like I'm gonna go out and hate people, but the opposite, because the opposite of love, but I'm more so like I'm gonna go out and do this on my own. You know,
right.
As opposed to allowing people to enter in and to remembering that the commandment is the friendship. Right. And that the love comes from the friendship. Right. Because it's even the relational, like God loved me, I loved you. Right. Like, and that's how this I love is coming, is from that source.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about this, just playing with verbs here and was thinking out loud on Tuesday evening with a couple of folks in Bible study. I was thinking, like, how is love an action?
Mm-hmm.
And then how is love also acted upon, meaning how how it is love given or done, right? And I feel like often we think about what we do in love. Mm-hmm. But like the awkwardness of this text is that love is a verb, but it's also a noun. It's mm-hmm. it's this piece, and it raises that question of like in relationship, what does it mean to be loved, mm-hmm. but also to love?
Yeah.
And to love one another mm-hmm. means to be loved, not just to love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the implicit, right? That like if you're loving one another, it means that you're loving each other, which means that you are receiving love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
And it's not just a giving.
Yeah. And so
which is such the stumbling block of Christians to think it's all about what you do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
What you do for Jesus, what you do for other people, as opposed to like the receiving.
And in some ways, I wonder if this is Jesus being like, and toxic charity, I hate you, right? Like saying, saying this is not about giving
mm-hmm.
for the sake of just giving.
Mm-hmm.
This is about giving within the context of community and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And for Jesus, it's a conversation entirely about love. It's not just about resource. I mean, we could dive into Acts and resources and socialism and all that joy, but like, I find it really powerful that Jesus frames.
It's inviting in because you've already been invited in too, right?
Yeah, but generosity for Jesus is entirely framed in love, right? Mm-hmm. Like that mm-hmm. you think about like that this sets up for like the Last Supper. I mean, like that we're set up mm-hmm. in ways for discourse that is so different.
We get the greatest commandment here, you know?
Right? Yeah. And it doesn't mean that they're not. The disciples aren't wrestling with all these things in the chapters to come. It's a hot mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like at the same time, like because there are all these pieces that are happening and like, and there's beauty in it too, right? Like, I mean,
mm-hmm.
so Jesus already knows he's betrayed. He's already washed their feet. He's already broken bread with them
mm-hmm.
actually. And now he's saying, remember that, of all of this, love.
Yes. Yes.
And Peter, you're going to betray me, but love.
Yeah. Keep with one another.
Yeah.
Don't throw each other out. And
or under the bridge, right? I mean, like.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And I think about that because, you know, I think about what follows, right? In verse 16, right? It says, I said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This alienation, this isolation, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
somehow that's how, you know, evil kind of works, right? To separate us. Even when we think back to when I preached last on the blind man's, when I talked about the blind man's family, right?
Yeah.
It was their fear of being put out of the synagogue, of being isolated from the community.
Right.
So this is kind of all, another response to all of that, right? Like, here's what you're going to face, right? You're going to face that the people want to tear you apart. They want to isolate you. Like, even when I come back to you, I'm going to find you isolated up in that upper room.
Right, with the door locked.
Which you preached about not too long ago.
Yeah.
And so this is all to counter that, right? Like, this
Absolutely.
Setting you up for what you will face, right? They're going to try to separate you and tear you apart. But you got to stick together, right? In friendship.
Absolutely. And that's... Mm-hmm. And that...
And not just acquaintances.
No.
You know, not just people you happen to see once a Sunday, but in friendship, in deep, abiding relationships.
And to me, I think one of the challenges with this is to say, and I think about this, is how do we foster that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, societally speaking, women are far better.
Mm-hmm.
It's also why you generally live longer. But
like
a lot, you have social systems
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That pull you through, and men often just have their spouse.
Yeah.
If they are partnered.
Yeah. Or like also husband, you know, like when his friends are chit-chatting when they're playing their games together, it's like, oh, did you ask them about this and that? And it's kind of like a no. I'm like, the minute I see one of my friends, I'm like, tell me about your deepest, darkest fears, you know? Like,
oh, man.
How are you? Like, how really are you? Like are you
yeah.
okay?
When did you
cry last? Like, you know? Right. Actually, like, seeing each other, you know? And being unafraid to, like, see
being
each
truly
other.
Present with each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, like, that I find is something that is challenging as a man in this world. But it's also something that I find it's challenging as a pastor to say, okay, how do I encourage? Mm-hmm. How do we build up encouraging friendships?
Yeah.
And making that space when it's not just playing on a team together,
mm-hmm.
when it's not just
an activity,
or, yeah. mm-hmm. but and activities can build. You can. I mean, I'm not trying to discount those. Those matter.
It's all the first steps,
but it's also it's who can you call up when you need to have a hard conversation
mm-hmm.
that's not your spouse
mm-hmm.
and not your therapist. Right. Like, how do you navigate those pieces? And I think that, like, to me, that's in some ways it's really intriguing to me to think that Jesus is speaking to a bunch of young men.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Saying you guys need each other.
Yeah.
Like and
powerful.
You
teenagers,
gotta,
yeah.
Yeah. Teenage boys. You don't think you need each other.
But you need
you
each
really
other.
Need each other. Right.
And what makes us so afraid of having that vulnerability with each other, right? And
yeah.
I think we can take it forward to the, we're afraid that, you know, people are going to kick us out. People aren't going to like us. People aren't going to see us
yeah.
or want to see us if they know who we truly are.
Yeah, it raises the reality that self-esteem is an issue that crosses mm-hmm. all gender lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about it, like, there's so much, like, love, but it's like, people are so afraid of telling each other they love each other, you know?
Oh, I know. And I deeply appreciate a friend of mine. Whenever we get together, he says, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always done that with my brothers,
mm-hmm.
but it's the first friend I think that, and now that's become how we talk to each other.
Yeah.
And I am deeply grateful because I feel like that is not something that is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's.
And it's powerful to hear it.
It is. It's
because
you really
know
powerful.
It about some people,
yeah.
but like hearing it is a whole nother thing.
And hearing it in a way that isn't just, yeah, love you, mm-hmm. but like, I love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I appreciate you in a
yeah.
way that is deeper than just.
It hits your heart.
And it does. It
yeah.
does. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so circling way back to this, like the text, it makes me think that Jesus is saying how hard things are and how hard they've already been. And in some ways he's saying, you guys have the skills and the tools that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest one of those is to remember that you love each other
mm-hmm.
and to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to show that.
Yeah. And we think about like what Jesus does and who Jesus is. Jesus is a person who sets up community. You know, he doesn't
yeah.
just have like one disciple, you know, like this is my,
no.
my armor bearer, you
right.
know?
yeah. Yeah. No. And to
he has 12, right? He sets
plus,
up an entire.
Plus all the women and like the,
yeah.
I mean, the context beyond that,
yes.
like there's a big,
there's a community,
there's a posse of people.
Mm-hmm. There's a community
with Jesus and,
mm-hmm.
And they are to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that the you in here is so plural, but it's not necessarily directed back at just at disciples. I like mm-hmm. that it's big. But it's really interesting just saying, okay, so how do we do that?
Yeah.
And how do we do that now? And I wonder, you know, I wonder some of it is modeling it with those we're in relationship with,
mm-hmm.
but some of it is also saying, making space. And I guess I've been thinking, chewing on this about what do I say in the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
As a preacher about what friendship looks like
mm-hmm.
based on what we understand Jesus telling us,
mm-hmm.
And what that means
yeah.
For us.
And just like lighten that little bulb of like, people who maybe think I'm doing good, you know, it's like, do you need to reach out to your friends and say I love you? Do you need to be willing to be a little more
yeah.
vulnerable with people? How could that positively impact you if you were to take that step?
Yeah, I think, you know, I used to have the nagging voice in my head like, oh, well, maybe they don't want to hang out with you or like this mm-hmm. or that. And which is, you know, lovely self-esteem. But like at the same time.
That's the devil's
it has,
voice, though.
It is, but
right?
like, but I have learned that, like, no, most people are craving connection just as much as we are.
Exactly, and that's where it is, right? This
and
whole
it's take the risk,
mm-hmm.
like, do it.
This that Jesus needs the disciples to fulfill the commandment, right?
Yeah,
he needs them to love, so that Jesus lives.
Yeah.
To me, like that's the gospel in a way there, you know?
Well, and I like this too, because in some ways this is a really powerful line related to self-esteem too, that you did not choose me, but I chose you.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning we are active in choosing our friendships just as much as the other person
mm-hmm.
is.
And you're right? honoring someone
that we're
by
choosing
them.
To be yeah. in relationship. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is saying, remember, I chose to be in relationship with mm-hmm. you. You're not just following me. Mm-hmm. Like, I chose mm-hmm. to be in relationship with you.
Definitely.
And I wonder if some of that is a reminder to ourselves that, like, yes, we are empowered in relationship mm-hmm. To step, mm-hmm. To nurture it, to reach mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good place to stop and say, you know, my challenge, we'll see what I do with this sermon. But
I
like,
think that's great.
Yeah. But my challenge, I guess, like, you know, and blessing mm-hmm. to all those of you listening is reach out to somebody that you feel you haven't reached out to in a while. Mm-hmm. Or maybe somebody that you do feel really connected to, mm-hmm. but like reach out to a friend mm-hmm. And have a friend conversation. Mm-hmm.
Or what's it like if somebody who you regularly see or reach out to, that maybe that relationship feels a little surface level to like deepen
dig a little deeper.
What if you told that person you love them, you know?
Yeah.
What if you ask them a question you don't normally ask them about themselves?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I find really interesting is our society generally, like, and therapists are guilty of this, but like we utilize couples resources like to deepen couples relationships, like talk about these things, these questions. Mm-hmm. And it's just been recently that I've seen people and therapists start saying, you can use this with groups. Mm-hmm. You can mm-hmm. deepen friendships yeah. in this way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and yeah, full disclosure. So yes, I as a pastor have played Cards Against Humanity and laughed and loved it. But like those questions, those awkward places, those mm-hmm. spaces that draw us deeper into potentially having conversations about, whoa, mm-hmm. what did we just laugh at? Or where are we going with these things? There's space for us to deepen relationships with friends mm-hmm. big time. And yeah. and it's not, and if you need tools to do that, ask somebody or mm-hmm. figure out. Because
there's all those different cards, the cards on that are available on like Amazon for relationships, for friendships.
Oh,
that
totally.
Are just like,
there are free apps for that. I think yeah. the Gottman Institute out at University of Washington has free card deck mm-hmm. app. There's a bunch of different things. So like,
if you need help, yeah, there's help.
There's
going
help to
back
be found.
To like you yeah. can seek help too if you don't know where to start.
Yeah, yeah. But just for, yeah, lean in a little bit into the love mm-hmm. of your friends. And also, I'll also say this: it's okay to be loved upon. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you need right now, let yourself be loved.
Mm-hmm. I always try to remind people of that when they're like in the hospital, that like you're blessing other people by allowing them to care for you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That people mm-hmm. need that for their own sense of how they can love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's humbling to receive that love, mm-hmm. but it's also deeply powerful.
Yeah. Especially if you've been the caretaker and you're learning to be cared for.
Right.
You know,
which is true for many, many people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. All of us yeah. who think we are able.
I know. Yeah. Which is the vast majority of us.
Yeah.
So, but this has been a good wandering. Mm-hmm. So thanks for joining us again. We'll try to bumble our way through here and there with podcasts. This next month is actually probably going to be a little bouncy because I'm in and out. But hopefully this summer we'll get back into some real rhythm again mm-hmm. And be able to wrestle with text. And, you know, one thing we don't really say often, but if you hear something or you want us to talk about something, mm-hmm. feel free to reach out. We're happy to wrestle with things and conversations. I mean, we normally tackle the lectionary text, but if there's something that's on your heart and mind that you'd like to just hear us engage, feel free to reach out. You can find us through the podcast information or just through our congregation. So, once again, you've been listening to the Queen City Preachers podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
And be well, friends. Thanks for being with us.